Welcome back, everybody. Always like to have you check us out on Facebook. Like us, please. And where else, Ava?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
Interactive map is awesome. Plug in where you want to go, find out what's going on in that place, and get after it. That's how it works. Kind of cool.
I dig it.
Yeah.
It's I always know you're going to call on me, too, when Don's not here, so I know. I'm prepared.
You know, you don't know which one you're gonna, I'm going to call on you.
Prepared.
Facebook or...
I know.
TheValleyOutdoors.com. Anyway, check us out. Lots of cool stuff there. And I'm not joking. It's pretty awesome if you want to go someplace and find out what's going on, if there's an activity that may be happening, especially in that state and or wherever, with a whether it's a DNR, fish and game. I'm trying to remember all the different versions of what the...
Just go check it out.
Game, fish, and parks. Yeah, so there you go. I don't know why they come up with different words for everything. It's just, I don't know. It's like a different, you know, if you, it's like if you use a different letter in a word, it changes the meaning of the word.
Pretty much. That's kind of how it goes.
All right, so I teased it at the top of the show. This is a commentary from Outdoor News that I happened upon, and I thought it was... I'll leave it to everybody what their thought is. I won't interject my opinion until after we go through it and read it. Ava, you can chime in whenever we get done here, and we'll have a little powwow. How's that
sound? All right,
sounds
good.
Open letter to Tim Walz, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, and the Conservation Partners Legacy Grant Changes. This particular individual wrote in to Governor Walz on behalf of the Pioneer Heritage Conservation Trust Board of Directors and members. I'm writing to express our opposition to the last-minute changes to the Outdoor Heritage Funding Bill regarding the Conservation Partners Legacy, which is CPL, Small Grants Program funding. Here's where everything raised my eyebrows when I started reading. It's our understanding that a change was made to eliminate out-state funding for 2026, with all $13,797,000 going to the 7-county metro area and or cities with populations of 50,000 or more. The change exempts our organization from applying funds in 2026. It's perplexing and quite frankly unfair, since the projects of this case, the Pioneer Heritage Conservation Trust Board, or the PHCT, they focus on rural areas with the Outdoor Heritage Funding Bill. That's what it's intended to serve. So the Outdoor Heritage Fund is designed for exactly the Heritage Conservation Trust Board, those kinds of things. We've been applying and receiving CPL grants since 2012. They've received over just around $1 million in grants, received an additional $400,000 in 2025 for projects starting in spring of 2026. Quite an accomplishment for an organization with a relatively small annual budget, and demonstrates commitment of the PHCT to conservation projects in the region. What have they done? In all a volunteer nonprofit, it is a nonprofit organization. They propose to improve wildlife habitat in 4 counties, Douglas, Grant, Otter Tail, and Pope County. Within a small budget, they greatly rely on the CPL funds to work with the DNR, Minnesota DNR, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, to complete projects on Minnesota wildlife management areas, as well as U.S. Fish and Wildlife waterfall production areas and private lands with conservation easements. Due to the success of these, they were awarded, the PHCT was awarded 2025 Conservation Award by the chapter of the Wildlife Society. Grant funds have primarily been used to remove invasive cattails from these areas, improve habitat in both public and private wetland regions. The effect of removing cattails and waterfall and other wild birds and animals is amazing. The area transitioned from being void of any wildlife to amazing blooming ecosystems simply in 1 year. Most of these areas are in prime prairie pothole regions of the state. In addition, funds have been utilized to install, replace, and maintain water control structures, allowing wildlife managers to control levels for optimal waterfall nesting and resting. And the economic benefit of the region, the CPL grants, is significant. Generally, local contractors complete work, purchasing heavy equipment, such as backhoes, bulldozer tractors, roller choppers, maintenance, and supplies are purchased. As the this person says, as the president of the PHCT, they found the organization focused on the organization alone. However, there are many other small conservation groups in outstate Minnesota that will also be negatively affected. We do not understand and certainly do not agree with the actions of the legislature regarding the funding, removal of small organizations from the application process. Hopefully you can see how important the funds are. Respectfully request you utilize your veto power to reinstate the CPL grant program to its original intent to provide grants statewide to qualified organizations with qualifying projects. You have the ability to remove the inherent bias toward groups like the PHCT who are actively involved in fulfilling the vision of the Outdoor Heritage Funding and CPL grants.
Hmm.
Now, sorry, makes my blood boil. It's sad. So here's the thing that happens. If you're not sure, it's like, oh, cattails are fine. What happens is cattails will grow and become prolific. They will literally choke out a pothole.
Yeah.
So what they do is they'll go in, they dig everything up, they push away the cattails, they clean it, they dig it so it's deeper, and it allows more of a wider variety of growth to happen. The second thing, they install gates. They install the gates so they can drain those same deals, kill off the whatever is there when you don't need it, and you can keep it full when you need it. So you're actually able to control a pothole, the level, and where it's at. And that's kind of where the crux of it is. And it saved and changed and transformed any of the habitats that we have in the state to keep a strong flyway, because they'll fly right over those spots. They won't land. And they can't tell there's water because the cattails are so thick. So it ends up being heavy, heavy, heavy cover. The challenge here is, again, it's frustrating. I will say that. There's been misuses, as we all know, of wherever funding has been. It's been widely publicized. I think when the Outdoor Heritage Fund was set up, it was set up to provide outstate areas. And I have to say, the 7-county metro area, sorry, I'm not buying it. The habitat across the state of Minnesota is greater than the 7-county metro area. And, you know, if you're dealing with a park, that's a different fund. Right. Absolutely a different fund. And to have that being used, the Outdoor Heritage Fund being used in the 7-county metro area as a non, because you're it's generally not going to be a multiple use or hunt use or other. And that's where this is coming from. And in my personal opinion, that's where it should be used, is in those areas that can be utilized, because access to the outdoor areas and good quality habitat has been a challenge in the state of Minnesota. You've seen pheasant the same way. I voice your opinion. You can send it to, what's our email? I forget. Where can you?
Well, you can go to the website. And
yeah,
find
the
it
website.
There
you
sure.
go. Put a comment on the website, thevalleyoutdoors.com. Go on and make a comment if you have a strong opinion on it. I'm not afraid to get on a soapbox. I get frustrated with a lot of this thing, these things. And this thing is one of them. When I read that letter, I don't know. I just kind of got a little upset, shall we say?
Well, it's warranted.
I don't know. It's.
There's a lot of questionable things that have happened.
You think? All right. So let's move along, shall we?
Can we have a good news story?
Yeah. Well, depends on what you consider a good news story. I want to cover some stuff for the guys in Michigan.
Are we talking about cougars?
Gonna talk cougars.
Okay.
Cougars.
I think they're cool, but.
Well, this is interesting.
I don't know if thinking they're cool is
a
good thing. But.
The Michigan Upper Peninsula cougar sightings numbers were adjusted after review. Out of Lansing, Michigan, wildlife researchers documented a dramatic spike in cougar sightings across the Upper Peninsula last year, ultimately confirming 40 animals were spotted, far more than initially reported, in the highest annual total on record. Biologists said that the Michigan DNR confirmed that 2025 was the third consecutive year of record sightings in the UP. There were 40 cougars spotted and 37 confirmed sightings. That's a significant jump over 26 confirmed sightings in 2024. Ava, that is what's called rut-row. There were 18 of them in 2023 and 15 in 2022 per the DNR statistics. Earlier this year, they announced the cougars were detected 31 times in Michigan last year, which was the highest number of confirmed observations. But that January announcement also noted that the count was expected to increase. The number will go up once we get our DNR cameras in as well. The funny part is they had 6 million images they had to go through.
Oh, I bet.
On trail cameras.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where they got the numbers from. Final tally for 2025 increased after they finished reviewing from nearly 1,300 trail cameras across the UP. That's a lot. The DNR large carnivore specialist said it takes considerable time. AI program initially sorted the photos. They still reviewed after
say, this
each.
This is the one time
that AI is going
to
be
nice
a,
to
yeah,
go
no
through
kidding.
All of those images.
You're reading my mail on that one. Exactly. I can't imagine. It'd be horrible. They confirmed the sighting team. I can't even think. You imagine?
Think of the things you'd see, though.
You'd be seeing things.
You would be seeing some things.
You would be. You'd be like, wow, what is that? Like, I think it's time you take a break.
Well, you'd start seeing Bigfoot, I think.
I know. You would.
I swear Sasquatch. He's in this one.
Exactly. Or is that a package of beef jerky? I can't remember.
I don't know.
They confirmed cougar sightings every month last year, with the most in March, when there were 6 sightings, including 2 in one day. The most confirmed sightings in a single day came on December 6th, where 3 were documented. Most of the sightings were concentrated in Houghton and Ontonagon counties, and there were others on the eastern UP as well. We're beginning a rash of cougar sightings from the same area around Gulliver and Schoolcraft County. We've certainly got an adult cougar that's getting caught on a bunch of different trail cameras. Now, related to this, confirmed cougar sightings have trended upward in the last 7 years, and they've already had 12 this year. Wildlife officials for years have thought cougars in the UP were young males that had migrated into the region from expanding western populations in the Dakotas. They said the increasing trail camera evidence is the cougar kittens found by residents in western UP in March last year say they're now some resident animals. This is a challenge, because when this comes up and you have people in the woods hunting and you have this kind of thing going on, you are no longer the hunter, you're the huntee, if you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a challenge. Just like we talked about last year with the, they want to introduce grizzly into areas of Washington State in the middle of a park, state park that's dramatically, I mean, huge trail usage, people going up and camping and all this, and then they want to put grizzly bear back in those areas. How does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't. State wildlife researchers said they wanted to capture and outfit a cougar in the Michigan wilderness with a radio collar that are going to give them a plaid like vest or something.
Mm-hmm.
But not the case. They want to learn more about how the elusive and apex predators use the Michigan landscape. Most research about North American cougars has been conducted in Western states and Canadian provinces. They leave a gap in the knowledge of how the animals use the Great Lakes region landscapes. The presence of the large carnivore reestablishing really demonstrates that the conditions have changed that have allowed the animal to return, said Byron Weckworth, of the Chief Conservation and Advocacy Officer with the national nonprofit Mountain Lion Foundation. So, how about that? How's that working for you?
You know, I saw some news stories about the cougars up in northern Minnesota, too, and their kittens, cubs or whatever.
Well, they came across from the Dakotas. They're coming.
Yeah.
I mean, it will be something to watch, because if they're now developing and having kittens, they are in a comfortable area and they will continue to expand.
Yep.
Not sure if that's...
They're like, hey, I survive here. So,
quick story. Minnesota DNR licensed agents are preparing for the June 9th launch of the electronic licensing system.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So this,
bait shop
this
owners
week,
in Minnesota,
huh?
they're preparing for the new electronic licensing. I haven't heard anything yet. During the webinars, they're just trying to train and demonstrate how the system works and answer questions from retailers. There's 1,500 licensed agents statewide. About a third participated in the two training sessions because of time constraints. This system helps agents work through a sale, leading them through the necessary steps. Begins with the agent login, searching, yada, yada. But here's the problem that I see. We were talking about this week with some of the guys at the at our fishing league deal. They've tried this before. Every other state has it. I don't know why we can't get it right. I hope it works, but I'm not having much hope. That's the unfortunate part. I don't know why we can't get it right. It's frustrating. They have to supply a computer. They have to supply a printer. Required to supply paper that goes in the printer. And they need to pay for the internet. That's the thing that the dealer has to have. So they have to provide all that. And it's not like they have any extra funding that they're going to get. They get a fee from 50 cents to a dollar on the license sold. That, in my opinion, you got to figure it out.
Right.
Something else has got to happen. So, well, doggone it, Ava, things fly.
Yep.
Another week is gone. I hope everybody has a good time in the outdoors this weekend. I think the weather's shaping up pretty much across the Midwest to be pretty darn decent. Be safe, enjoy the outdoors, catch some fish, enjoy a trail, and take a friend with you. It should be a great weekend, everybody. Have fun.
Thanks for listening to the Valley Outdoors Radio. Catch us next week, same time, same place. Have a great day on the water or in the field.